Blog Talk Radio.
Friends calls it the phenomenon of the Sugar Shack. How many people would just love to go back to those days? And this is Billy Porter calling in now. And Billy, I'm rapping about, you worked there, but man, you were in the middle of this with your play, Back to the Sugar Shack. Billy Porter, actor, writer, bon vivant, entrepreneur, all around good guy. How the hell are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm just, you know, enjoying the little ride here. And it's great to tell this story about Rudy and the Boston music history of the Sugar Shack. It's pretty cool.
You know, we were talking about how, you know, you just mentioned that there's a retirement community somewhere in town where everybody just gets together and reminisces about those amazing days.
Yeah, I was in Cambridge a couple of days ago, last week, and I was in this little antique shop on Mass Ave, and I bumped into this guy talking a little bit about, you know, Boston, because, you know, an antique shop, and talk about history. And we mentioned the Sugar Shack was brought up, and he went, oh, my God, what, the Sugar Shack? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I used to go there in that place, and what's it, Paul Malls or whatever mall Paul was, in the Jazz Cafe. And, he was telling me there's a group of guys that still hang out and they chat about the Sugar Shack every day in this retirement little recreation center, you know, somewhere in the South End. And, I'm like, oh, okay, we got to get down there and see these guys. So anyways, I call some friends and we get to Johnny Jr., an old cat that used to hang around in the Sugar Shack. And he's like, yeah, those are the guys, the same guys I know. So we'll talk about it. So it's just amazing. This is all coming together like magic. You know, it's true.
It is. There is a.
It's fun too. It's really a fun piece.
Oh my God! You know how energetic everybody gets, and everybody wants to share the stories, and everybody's got a story, and everybody's got a feeling, and and I'm covering day by day. I'm in friends with Bud Cianci's ex bodyguard, a guy by the name of Jimmy Rogers, who is arguably the funniest human on the planet. And, you know, the other magic part of this is all these living parallel lives with so many people. I've got my two buddies from Roxbury that I spent so many great times with. And we were in the Rivoli Theater together. We were in, you know, the Sugar Shack together. We were in so many places at so many times in our lives, never connected until we were in our 50s. And then I meet Jimmy, and I've known him for 10 years. And I said, hey, I'm doing this documentary about the Sugar Shack. He goes, I was there.
Oh, right? It's crazy.
I was there
it's
with my bell bottom pants, and he says, my broad brim hat. And he says, it's such an exaggerated and great story. He says, man, I saw James Brown in the Fabulous Flames. I went out and started dancing on Boylston Street and doing the splits and things. He said, cop picked me up. He says, and arrested me for doing acid. Every time we do these shows, you know, I've been so busy lately, and you're busy, and we say to each other, we take the time. Here's Rudy now. Let's welcome him.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Hey, Rudy.
He
good afternoon.
There he is.
I just lost track of the time by 5 minutes. I looked and I says, wow.
That's okay. The star can always arrive a few minutes late, you know. Make a little splash here.
Marilyn Monroe did.
Yeah, there you go.
Marlon Brando did.
Yeah.
Hey, Rudy, we were just talking about the magic that we've all experienced since we all got together and what the two words or three words, the Sugar Shack, when you say that to anyone.
The Sugar Shack. Yeah.
You see people, like I told you that night with Diana, Gladys Knight and the OJs, 6,000 people at the Wang Center. And the OJs, Walter Williams says to the group, hey, says, I remember the beautiful days in Boston, the days at the Sugar Shack. And through the crowd, like a wave, there was a roar and applause.
Wow.
I still think of that. Every now and then it comes to me. What a great feeling. Too bad
50 years later, what you set in motion 50 years later is still gets a reaction.
Imagine
it's unbelievable.
That.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
You know, I got to tell you, I was just telling Billy, I'm friends with a guy named Jimmy Roger, who was Bud Cianci's bodyguard, grew up in East Boston, then to Forest Hills, went to English High School, and he's one of, I've got a handful of guys that I lived parallel lives with my entire life. Never met them, but later on connected with them in my 50s, and found out we were in the exact same places at the exact same time. And in fact, he used to play high school hockey at English, and I hung in the arena my whole teen years, White Stadium, you know, the whole thing. And so yesterday, I'm telling him that I'm working on a documentary about the Sugar Shack. He goes, I was there. I was there, he said. And I said, get out of here. He goes, I saw James Brown and the Fabulous Flames. He says, I had bell-bottom pants on and a broad-brimmed hat, and he's a white guy. And he says, a cop wanted to arrest me for doing splits on Boylston Street.
That's funny.
He's a funny, funny guy. I'm going to put him in the documentary. And, you know, we're a little upset that, you know, but we understand George was busy today, but we were going into Martini's cigar shop in the North End to film Jerry Maffeo and a guy by the name of Richie Willis, who played for, I think the name of the group was Best Moves, and they were a cover band for the Temptations, and he used to hang out in the Sugar Shack, and he figured out, because he was a musician, he got his way back into the dressing rooms and hung out with the OJs and all of the stars. And they talked about music and sang together. In fact, he said, I think I told you last night that when David Ruffin was there and he sang You'll Never Walk Alone, these guys started humming in the background. And he came into the audience and they backed him up.
Yeah, his big hit when he came there, My Whole World Ended the Day I Left You, I saw.
That's right. Oh, my God, yeah. My whole world,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And it never ceases to amaze me the energy that comes out of people. I mean, they can be just walking down the street, and I can get a feeling that the first night we went to the Spinners, I saw these black couples coming into the Wilbur to see the Spinners. And I'd say to them, hey, you know, remember the Sugar Shack? And people would just be, you know, serious, whatever, and they would light up. and smile. I said, of course I remember the Sugar Shack.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. So cool.
So a lot of things. Go ahead.
Too bad they got rid of the entrance there. We should have put a little plaque.
Well, after this documentary, we can go to the city and tell them we want to put a plaque on the building.
Exactly. Yeah. I was standing in front of that building about a month ago, and I was trying to, you know, look at it and get the feel of it, and you can still see some kind of presence. You look at the sidewalk and maybe up at the top of the building, but yeah, it's there, Boylston Street, you know, but.
The Colonial, is that the theater next to it, the Colonial?
Yep.
Is that it, Billy, the Colonial? Is that the name?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well,
yep.
we're right next, we're adjoining the Colonial Theater, and we were right there. The door was right there.
Yeah, it's still a lounge now. It's still a lounge, but it's different, definitely different. But you can still, I was trying to picture and get the feel of it. I'm like, this is the Sugar Shack right here, because I looked at it. I followed the numbers down in Boylston. The Emerson School of Music and Film and stuff is right there. And then you got this other lounge that's there. It used to be Pravda. It's changed the name now, but it's there still. And, you know, the Sugar Shack will always be a staple in the city, and it's just bringing awareness now to this project. So we're doing this, you know, all this beautiful work here to bring awareness of it. It's just cool, man. It's awesome.
And Rudy, Billy and I have made a date to sit down together and start writing out the play.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I got half of it written, and I need Tom to come on with some really good ideas. You know, you have to just get a team together. It's all about having a team, and I think we can. I got half of it together since February, and just learning more about you, Rudy, and speaking to Jerry, and trying to get that feel and that picture of what, you know, a little story that's based on the Sugar Shack. You know, so you can never get the true story, but based on the story, and just have fun with it, and about the music and you guys, your characters. I think it'll be fun to bring in the small theaters here in Boston. So Tom's going to come on and help us, you know, write and finish this up and get some funding and put it on stage and tell a little story, have fun, bring it back to the Sugar Shack.
Any news on Stevie Wonder? Nothing, huh? Nothing on
no. Right. Well, how about Eddie LaVert? Has he got back to you on that?
I called and left a message, but he hasn't called me back yet. Sometimes he's on the road or something. Who knows?
Yeah, he's going to come to Rhode Island in the month of February.
They're coming back?
Yeah, they're going to be in Rhode Island, yeah.
There's a casino there, huh?
Yeah, there's Twin Rivers right outside of Providence.
Huh. They play a lot of the soul acts?
Yeah, the Kool and the Gang is there January 16th. We're hoping that's where we're hoping to meet up with those guys.
Oh, yeah, right. Those guys
are beautiful. I forget who's the point person on that, whether it's George or Susanna, to see what we do there. But, you know, it's moving along.
They said that some guy, Carlos, would get in touch with us, but he hasn't got in touch yet.
Okay. We'll do it.
I see a problem with them because they were very nice, and I don't see a problem with an interview with them.
No, we'll get it. They're too close. We haven't lost yet, Rudy. We never have failed. You know, we've gotten everybody we wanted to. The only one that got by us was Gladys because she had a technical problem. But we'll get them.
It's not Rudy, you know, the magic name is Sugar Shack.
Rudy, you do say the Sugar Shack, but the one, they go, oh, yeah, and they recognize that. But the key, that's the one that bank knocks on the door. But the key that gets us in is Rudy Guarino, believe me.
Yeah, it does.
There's no denying it, Rudy.
Hey, I told you, one time Motown, one of the officials called me and says, why don't you get rid of that name, Sugar Shack? I says,
never.
Why? What's wrong with it? He says, I don't know. It just don't sound good. It don't sound good. They made a song out of it. It don't sound good. The name rhymes everything, and they got a hit song with it and everything.
Well, how about our friends from the class band out of North Carolina? What's his name? The singer. The story he told was bizarre. He says he's taking a nap on his couch, and he said, "You know, I don't know you well, but I'm just going to say that. Let's say it was a dream." He said, "But I'm telling you, between us, he says something came in that room and told me to write a song, and that it would write it for me." And he's driving down the street the next day, and he sees a closed bar called The Shack. He says, oh, that looks good. I said, maybe I'll call it The Shack. Into his mind comes, he puts together Sugar Shack, and he writes this song not even knowing there was a club, The Sugar Shack. And he wrote that song. So there's something magical about those two words. You're right, Sugar Shack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look up on the internet. There must be hundreds of businesses under the name Sugar Shack.
Absolutely.
There's even strip clubs.
Everything. Exactly. Exactly. The
I never knew that the name was that popular, but when I heard the song, you know, it rhymed and was going back to the shack and all that.
Yep.
I just said,
yep. I know you like that song. Why don't we let me play. I'm going to hit it. Here we go. Come on. Get out. Here we go. Here it is.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the track, and everybody calls it the Sugar Shack. Well, it's just a coffee house, and it's made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good. That's not the reason why I've gotta get back.
Who've talked to us, the Spinners, Harold Melvin, Blue Magic, the moments, the
Eddie LaVert,
Walter Williams, the Tavares.
Wow.
Like I said, Harold Melvin, New Earth, the main ingredients, and not last but not least, Frankie Valli.
Wow! Imagine that.
Rudy, these are all on film, and some of the highlights. One of the greatest highlights was Walter Williams sitting on the back of his sofa with his arms over the sides. Relaxed, and when I said to him, I want you to talk to Rudy, look at the camera and talk to Rudy, and he stepped forward and he said, lean forward, and he got as close, and you don't think Rudy Garino means something? Well, listen to Walter Williams. He said, Rudy, because of the advice you gave us and the opportunities you gave us at the Sugar Shack, and he says, and the attention and the care, he says, you made me, helped make me the entertainer I am today, he says, but more importantly, because of the environment you created there, the family, the sense of family, and that you were like a father to us. He said, Rudy Garino, you helped me become the man I am today.
Wow. So cool. That's amazing. Wow.
You give me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what do you think? How do you think George and I feel when we look at that and we say, you know, we see these great memories and these great feelings, and you know the way new births. I mean, the way those guys, they made us bring tears to our eyes. How they win. We love Rudy. We love Rudy.
Wow.
We wanted
That's
Rudy
cool.
to manage us, but the rest of the team didn't want to do that. But da 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 da, and it just Rudy. It never ends. So don't. When all of this gets bigger and better, you gotta smile when people say Rudy Garino and go, okay, thank you.
yeah. Embrace it all. It's amazing. It's really cool, though, to get this story told.
Hey, what about Johnny Jr.? Wasn't he supposed to call in?
Yeah,
Who's that?
Supposed to call in. Johnny Jr., I talked to him earlier. He actually called me. He's like, yeah, I'm going to call in about 1:15. I'd call you guys for sure. He had a bunch of stories. I sent him a message after that, and I don't know.
Have you got his number? Give me his number. I'll call him.
All right, hold on. Let me get the number. No, hold on. His number is.
Hang on. Let me get my phone up here, right?
All right.
Oh, go ahead.
His number is 530-321-7142.
Okay, let's see if we can get him.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Yeah, he must have fell asleep on his midday nap.
Well, these guys lived a hard life being who they were.
Are you kidding me?
Hang on. Johnny Jr.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, it's the Sugar Shack guys.
Huh?
It's the Sugar Shack guys. The Sugar Shack guys. We're on the air. Do you want to call in? You got the number? Okay, yeah, call in. 646. Yeah, hang on. Yeah, call a number. Rudy's on the line right now. Hey, look at this. We're going to have a caller.
No.
Who's this? Johnny Jr.
Who?
Go ahead, Billy. Tell him.
Who is
Johnny Jr. Johnny Jr. He was one of the pimps that used to hang out. He was one of the major players up in there in the Sugar Shack. He knows a bunch of guys that still sit around today and they talk about the Sugar Shack and the little.
Good.
Yeah, he should be
He used to hang out with the Twins. Who was the Twins? The Twins there. The Twins.
Oh, yeah, they was Twins. I remember Twins.
Boy,
you guys are keeping me young. You guys are bringing me back to life.
And what a life. Here he is now. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a drum roll. But the famous Johnny Jr. Johnny, thanks for calling in, man.
Yes, how y'all doing, man, out there?
We're doing great, and Rudy's on the line, and Billy Porter's on the line.
Billy.
Johnny
Jr., right?
What's happening?
Hey, how you
Johnny
doing?
Johnny Jr.
Yeah. Hi, John. How are you, Johnny?
How is this? Hey, Rudy, what's up? Well, how you doing?
All right, we're hanging in, and these two gentlemen, Billy and Tom, I'm 86 years old, and they're going to bring me back to 25 and 30.
Yeah, well, I finally made 66.
Yeah, they're young again. Get back to all the stories.
Yeah. Oh, man, Sugar Shack was the place. They ain't had a place like that since. I used to go to Studio 54, and that couldn't mess with the Sugar Shack.
Yeah.
Sugar Shack was the joint.
Yeah.
Hey, if they ever opened up another Sugar Shack, they'd open up Boston even more again. Because they ain't never had a place like that. Never. We miss you out here, Rudy. We miss you out here. Shit, they be throwing things and calling it the Sugar Shack, and everybody goes to them. Yeah. I be dying. Yes. Yes.
Hey, Johnny, so, are you out in L.A.? Is that where you are?
No, I'm in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, you are? Okay, by your number. You know, we want to film you.
That would be fine.
Fantastic. You're going to wear one of your old outfits?
I got new outfits. I got ones in style. I keep up with the time. My kids make sure of that.
Put moth flakes in the pocket. Put moth flakes.
Oh, I still got mink coats and mink hats and alligator shoes and alligator boots.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny, would it be possible? Yeah. Maybe we'll come to your and to your place and check out the wardrobe. Put it on
Hey, I'll tell you what. There's quite a few of us old players still up here.
Yeah, Billy was saying that. There's a retirement place that everybody hangs out. We could get a group of you guys for a shoot.
Yeah, you can get a group of us.
That'd be fantastic.
I know quite a few of them.
Right, the Sugar Shack players, man. The players from the Sugar Shack. Wow.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
I talked to people in Vegas and people in Florida and Ohio. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of the old players.
Great. Yeah. And you got some of them here in Boston, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
great.
Yeah.
Great. You know, last time we had you on the show, you had some stories. Any new stories you've thought of lately since we've talked?
I tell you what. I wish the Sugar Shack was back.
Oh, yeah.
like I said, that was the best club they ever had.
Right.
They ain't had a club like that since.
Ever.
If there was ever another Sugar Shack, they would make plenty of money. Because people loved the Sugar Shack because they had Motown there. Every week Motown came.
Wow.
It was a new group.
That's
and
right.
It was a new group every week.
Wow.
Hey,
Johnny, I had some, I mean, all of the groups were amazing, but I had some favorites. What were your favorites?
The OJs, Eddie Kendricks, the Temptations, Bobby Womack, and Hal Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Yeah,
because I used to party with a lot of them groups when they used to have after parties.
Wow.
You know, so I used to go to the after parties.
Tell us what the after parties were like. I mean, you don't have to go into too much detail, but enough to...
after parties?
Yeah, tell us. Where were they, first of all? Where would they have them, in hotels?
They had them in hotel suites, and they had them at people's houses.
Yeah,
we had a ball.
I mean, that was the cool thing is that the artists, because of every artist we talked to, talks about how Rudy created a family.
Right. He did.
John, we need to do this movie.
Hey, Rudy everybody came from all over to
Amazing.
Go to the Sugar Shack.
Amazing.
They came from everywhere. You had Ohio, Cleveland in there. You had Atlanta, Georgia. They came from everywhere to go to Sugar Shack.
Wow.
Sugar Shack was the thing. And I've been all over the country 7-8 times, or even more. And there ain't no place like the Sugar Shack. Like I said, I used to go to Studio 54. And the Sugar Shack had that taken over. Okay?
Wow.
And Studio 54 was the jumping spot also.
Right.
But it couldn't touch the Sugar Shack.
Nah.
Mm-mm.
Well,
wow.
Johnny, I have a million reasons why the Sugar Shack was what it is, and I could go on forever, but I want to hear it from you. What are some of the pieces of the puzzle that made it so fantastic?
Because you met all kind of people. You met people of all walks of life. They was there. All walks of life came to the Sugar Shack.
Wow, that's cool.
And amazing characters, huh?
Oh, they had nothing but anybody that was a star sang there.
Wow.
Yep.
You know, you had to be a star to sing in the Sugar Shack.
Yeah, imagine
you know,
that.
If you sang down there, you was a star. That was like the Sugar Shack was like the Ed Sullivan Show. If you sang on the Ed Sullivan Show, you was a star.
You was a star.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. And that's what the Sugar Shack was.
Yeah.
You know? Rudy,
hey, Rudy, what do you think about all of this?
I'm getting younger and younger.
I hear you, Rudy.
Yeah, baby.
I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, the most valuable thing you can get is the people that came to the Sugar Shack, their stories. Believe me.
Yeah.
So it
cool.
is amazing.
You, hey, they got a lot of them.
They came from all of them. We had pimps, we had gangsters, we had college kids. We had everybody.
We had everybody.
And everybody
was
ruled in the shot, having a good time. Go ahead.
They had a good time there. Very good time.
Yeah.
But I said he had all walks of life in there.
Right. We had a lot of good fellas. We had everybody in there.
Yes, he did.
That's awesome.
He sure did.
Now,
it was never a problem in the goddamn place.
No, it wasn't.
That's cool.
No, it wasn't.
Now, you know, Johnny, what I'd love to hear about this, and you're the second guy in 2 days that told me about the after-hour parties. There's a guy named... and I just stumbled upon him this week. I never met him before, and I haven't met him yet. We were supposed to have a little shoot today, but poor George got sick. But he belonged to a group called Best Moves or something like that. They were a cover group for the Temptations and other soul groups. And he's a white guy from the North Shore. And he said he was able to, because of his music affiliation, he was able to get into the dressing rooms and hang out, not only in the dressing rooms, but he would hang out in the after-hour party. So, you know, this is the second day about hearing that. So what amazes me is that the groups wanted to connect with the community, wanted to connect and go to the parties and hang out with the...
They did. Everybody hung out there. Hey, you got a guy up there in Vegas named Phil Tucker. He used to be part of the Sugar Shack. He's an old player. I heard he does a neon signs up there in Vegas. Name is Phil Tucker.
Hey, Rudy, you got to look him up.
Yeah, he's been in Vegas for a long time.
He's one of the Ohio players?
No, he was a player. He was a pimp.
He was a pimp. Phil Tucker.
Now he's doing neon signs. Yeah.
He opened up a place in Vegas quite a few years ago. You know, he's a good businessman.
Beautiful.
He's a good businessman.
And we'll try to get a hold of him, Rudy.
He's been in Vegas for a long time. Yep, you got quite a few players that are in Vegas.
Sugar Shack.
Yeah. All right.
I like.
And
I
want to hear about more of these parties. What would you'd have Eddie LaVert there, Walter Williams.
Yeah.
Let me see. I partied with Bobby Womack.
Wow.
And I partied with the Temptations and Hal Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of women, a lot of liquor, and a lot of cocaine. Back in them days.
Yeah,
back in them days. Yeah, we had a good time.
Party, man.
Everybody was dancing and enjoying themselves.
That's it. So,
party, man.
Just put some music on and get it on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A Womack
with the groups, a real.
Huh?
Would the groups break into song, give you guys a little more entertainment?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Bobby, Womack had a rail to rail, and all he played was Bobby Womack at his party. You know?
Yeah.
So it was nice.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Nice.
So, I mean, if you held this in a hotel room or like a suite, so how many people would show up? 100, 200, what?
About 100.
Wow.
And there would be a lot more trying to get up in there.
Wow.
There'd be a lot more trying to get up in there.
Yeah, it'd be
a lot more trying to get up in them joints. You know? It was a good time, though.
Well, Johnny, you know, this explains, and Rudy, this explains why... Part of the reasons that so many groups wanted to come back, even though you couldn't afford the prices that the stadiums were playing and everything else, everybody wanted to come back and party.
Yeah,
right.
They did.
Right.
They did. They sure did. He had groups that came back quite a few times.
Yeah. That's right.
They always came back.
Rudy said that the OJs would come back 5 times a year.
Oh, without a doubt. The OJs was the joint.
Yeah.
It was the joint. I still love the OJs.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. We all do.
When they have they be having groups that come up here still, and they have them at these other places. And when they have them, I'm there, and everybody in the Sugar Shack, they used to go to Sugar Shack. They go.
Oh, we go.
I see everybody from the Sugar Shack when these old groups come back in town.
Now,
you know?
I was just telling Rudy, did you go to the show at the Wang Center with the OJs and Gladys?
I missed that. I missed it. I was mad I missed it. I missed that.
Well,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
John is saying how everybody partied and everything. We had some like Gamble and Huff that wrote all the songs for a lot of these entertainers. Come and visit.
Oh, yeah.
We had the guy from the Apollo. I forgot his name. Him and another guy that owned the show bar in Montreal. They came to the Sugar Shack to visit.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
We had, what's his name, the Soul Train guy come. We had, what's his name, Jimmy
Doc,
Brown,
Doc.
The football player, the football
Doc,
star.
Don Cornelius.
We had so many celebrities that were producing the records and things like that come to the Sugar Shack. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yes, it was. Hey, they had a place in Montreal called the Sugar Shack. But it was nothing like the Sugar Shack.
They did.
I went to a place. Yeah, go ahead.
They did. What did you say? What?
You didn't mess with your clothes.
They called the show box there. And he came down, too. The club owners used to come in and say, how the hell are you doing? So, it's a small place. You bring in James Brown.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing, amazing, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Some people remind me, I work for nothing for the week to give the people a treat.
Yes.
That was the spot.
Now, you know, Johnny, when Eddie LaVert was on this show, it was funny. I could hear in his voice, he was very impressed with the boys at the bar, he called them. So obviously he meant you guys, the pimps. He had he said those cats were really as powerful as the OJs were. He took his hat off and said those guys are pretty powerful guys. Did you find that they reached out to you, or did you reach out to them? How did that all work?
Well, it was like, I mean, people came down to Sugar Shack. The groups was good, and it was sort of a fashion show in there. Everybody dressed. Everybody dressed. And walking up that aisle was our runway. Okay?
Right.
Everybody was sharp. Everybody that went down there was dressed up to kill.
Yeah.
You know, there was no one going in there with dungarees and sneakers. You was dressed. You had suits on, hats, coats. You know, everybody was sharp. You know, that's what made the clubs, that club had so much style and class, because you couldn't go in there unless you was dressed. You wasn't in that dork looking like you just, no, it didn't happen. Everybody enjoyed themselves. It was a fashion show.
Wow.
It was Easter every day. It was
Easter
every day.
Every day.
That's right. It was.
Hey, Rudy, that's a tagline for you. The Sugar Shack. Easter every day.
Every day.
Yeah, we had a runway there, all the way up to the back, and the good fellas used to walk up and down with their fancy canes and top hats.
Yeah.
It was like a fashion show.
It was a dream. When you entered that room, Billy, you know, Johnny, you know, you're right. You just knew you were gonna. It was like a Hollywood movie set. It looked the big movie of the time that could even come close in terms of fashion was Shaft, and even that couldn't touch the kind of clothing. Now, Johnny, you had I've heard amazing numbers that people, and we're talking 50 years ago, that people would spend for an outfit. How much would you spend for an outfit to go to the Sugar Shack?
Oh, okay. Shit, I had outfits. Back then, your prices was different. So if you had on an outfit that went for $1,000, it cost you $3,000 now, or $4,000.
Right.
Okay?
And you would come in with $1,000 outfit, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd come in with $1,000 outfit every night, a different one every night.
Yeah.
I never wore the same outfit in there. Never wore the same outfit.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
we had a good time.
Yeah, and so like one of the mink coats, what would they cost in the day?
Oh, all right. I got minks now, and I paid like $10,000 for it.
Woo!
Minks then I paid like I'd say $2,500. Or if you brought a mink off a booster, you'd give a $500.
And you know they came in. You're right. Mink coats were everywhere. The guys had them.
Right.
The women had them.
Yeah. They had event up here. They had an event up here about 2 or 3 months ago. It was a players' event, and it looked like you was in the fur district. Because the women had minks and the men had minks and everybody was dressed up.
Wow.
And we all had a good time.
Wow.
And it was mainly your Sugar Shack crowd.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, they follow. They follow.
You know,
until
there
today,
was a guy every week.
Young and old.
Yeah. You know, there was a guy every week. You're absolutely right. We used to wait for him.
Yeah.
He'd come all dressed in leather. And he had from leather from the tip of his toes to the top of his hat, everything matched, including the umbrella / cane that he walked in with.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember all that stuff.
You know, and so, and one of my friends told me the other day that he would, it was nothing for him to spend $1,000 a week on a new outfit to go to the Sugar Shack with.
It was nothing. You said that right. It was nothing. It was nothing to spend $1,000 in a B shop.
Rudy, on any given night in that club, you take 300 people, and at least 100 were dressed of that caliber. You're talking about over $1 million worth of wardrobe in your place every night.
Oh, they did. They had it.
You know, we had
they had
some
it
of those
in there.
Went for $500, just a pants outfit, the top and the bottom. They were, that's
yeah.
where the pants and the casual came into style. And I remember that I told the story earlier that the Williams brothers wanted to buy the club, and they said they didn't like the dress. They said they wanted the shirt tie crowd. I said, that went out the shoes there.
Wow.
They wore suits, leather suits. They wore, you had to be sharp. You know? They had some outfits in there that was out of sight. Because everything was tailored.
Yes.
We used to get our shit tailored up. We never brought a suit off the rack. We
started
Nick the Taylor, Nick the Taylor, and Handy the Hatter to get our hats made. You know, to go with our suits. Yeah.
So who was the tailor?
Nick the Taylor. He was downtown.
Nick the Taylor. Where was he? We was down what? In the
He was in the combat zone.
Right.
Off of Washington Street. He made all the suits for the stars. And all the suits for the players and the gangsters, he made everybody's suit.
Wow.
You know? Yeah,
because cool.
He used to make me 4 and 5 suits at a time. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. How many guys did he have working for him if he was that busy? He must have had a lot of guys,
Nick stayed busy. Yeah, he definitely had a lot. He was the best tailor in Massachusetts.
Wow.
And he was right downtown. Yes.
And what was the name of the hat maker?
The hat maker was Handy the Hatter.
Handy the Hatter.
He was right downtown off of Washington Street, too. And he made
what you had here was a whole community around the Sugar Shack.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's without a doubt.
Started, Rudy?
Yeah, he made it. He made it comfortable for a lot of people, and they had good time.
You know, Johnny, every once in a while I got to get mad at Rudy because he keeps saying, oh, it wasn't about Rudy Guarino, it was about the Sugar Shack. But Rudy forgets there was no Sugar Shack without Rudy Guarino.
Hey, you got that right. There was no shack without him. He made it happen.
Right?
That's right.
He made it happen.
Absolutely.
Everybody still remembers Rudy right today.
Exactly.
Wow.
When I told some folks I talked to Rudy, they said, what? You talked to Rudy? Yeah. Hey, a lot of people love Rudy.
That's right. You better believe it. Rudy, are you listening?
They love him to death. Yes.
Rudy?
You guys are making me young again. I'm going to have to make
a
comeback.
Right. I hear you, Rudy. You need to make a comeback. Open up another Sugar Shack.
Yeah.
Hear me. The old and the new will be there.
Let me tell you one story that I can remember when the crowd, one of the best crowds I've ever seen, when Jackie Wilson was open. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I like Jackie Wilson. He was good. At an early age, he was good. He used to split his pants every time he did splits. But he could sing, and he used to do them splits and catch that mic. That was Jackie.
Amazing.
Jackie Wilson.
Imagine that. That's a show.
Hey, Johnny, was there one performance one night that, you know, you remember more than others?
No, they were all good.
That's right.
They were all good.
you know, you mentioned the OJs first, and you're right. I think of any club, any group that really belonged or hosted and was consistent, that you'd identify with the Sugar Shack, it was the OJs. I mean,
it was
they had
the
a magic.
OJs, and it was also the Whispers.
Whispers.
Really?
Huh?
The Whispers.
Wow.
The OJs and the Whispers.
John,
and the Whispers. They're still
played,
around.
Every group that played there was fantastic.
Every group that played there was out of sight.
Out
they
of
had
sight.
Good, very good entertainment.
I hit
very
a home
good.
Run by all
you
those
sure
picks
did.
That I made. They all
wow.
all fantastic. Choreography.
They was. They was. Hey, they was in step. They had showmanship, everything. Yeah. All right, look here. I got to let you all go because I got to use this men's room.
All right, Johnny, thank you so much. We'll be in touch. We want to film you.
Okay, but Rudy, we love you.
Take care
right.
and bless you.
Okay. You too.
All right, Johnny.
Hey, Rudy.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Thank you, Johnny. Yeah. Hey, Rudy, how's that for a Christmas present?
That's good.
Awesome. That's so cool.
I tell you, Tom, you've got to get more reactions from the stories of the Sugar Shack. Believe me when
right?
I tell you.
Right.
We're going to get more people if we can get them on. Tell you their stories. They'll make you cry.
Right.
Exactly.
We're out there in the field. I'm out there meeting people. I met some guys at an antique shop on Mass Ave last week, and he told me, too. He said, there's a place where these guys sit around and they talk about the Sugar Shack. I said, where is it? On Columbus Ave, retirement center. So I'm going to get down there. We're going to hit the field and get in the city of Boston and find out who's talking about the Sugar Shack. Because there's so many stories. There really is.
Rudy, we're going to win an Oscar with this
yes.
documentary.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll tell you, you'll win an Oscar, too, with a lot of the stories, and you'll get a number one book.
Exactly.
These artists, and just tell their stories. And
absolutely.
Just at the Sugar Shack.
That's
right. Well, you know, that's the beauty of these podcasts is they last forever, and they're our oral history. Rudy,
yeah,
these things never die, and they're going to be your voice in these programs are going to be around forever. People that do research. We're going in the Library of Congress, man, with this thing. You know, this is a documentary. Some woman told George the other day, was the manager for Kool & the Gang. And
wow. She
said that, the stylistics. She said to George, do you realize, she says, you are documenting history with this documentary.
Yep.
Yeah. You sure are, Billy.
Yep. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And now, how did you meet Johnny, Billy?
I met him through his nephew. I know his nephew. And there,
his
nephew. I know, and I know his son, Johnny Jr. Jr., Johnny Jr. the second. And they're all back, like 10, I know them maybe, say, 15 years ago I met them. And
where'd you meet?
On Newland Street. I was running an after-hours joint, and them, the son and the nephew, you know, they're in their game, and they used to come in the after-hours joint. And it just,
nice.
Yeah. It's just
nice. See all the little dots connecting here?
Right? It's amazing, yeah. I know those guys because they're, you know, they're just like they take after their dad and their uncle.
That's right. Are they pimps too?
I don't know if they are anymore, but they were like 15 years ago. They were out there like, yeah, those guys were out there. Crazy.
Tom, speaking of Jackie Wilson, you don't have to happen to have Higher and Higher, do you?
Well, let me see if I can pull it off here. I'm going to try to do it right now. I'm going to go see if I can pull that up while we're talking. But, I love that song. Let me see what we can do here. Hang on just a minute. You know, you didn't have Ray Goodman and Brown there, did you?
Yeah. They were the moments. Ray Goodman and Brown. Love on a two-way street.
And also, special lady. Now, I'm going to try to play this. I haven't it uploaded. Let's see how it sounds. Let's try it. Can you hear it okay?
No, not too good.
Well, I won't do it that. Well, let me see if I can download it here quick enough. I'm gonna. There's sometimes I can get lucky and I can download it and get it right into the station. But boy, that was a great little interview, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's what
you know?
I like. I like the rag about the club.
Oh yeah, I mean, and they you bring guys like that. I'm gonna see if I can get this. There we go. All right, now we're gonna. Now so I got a little technique here that I use to upload while we're. Let me see if we can do this. Let's go to the dashboard, and then we're gonna go to audio clips. And we're going to add a new clip, and we're going to select Ray Goodman and Brown. It should be right there. And, boy, what a great song. I forgot about that song. You must be a special lady. Okay, here we go. So, boy, that brought some great memories back about the fashion show and all of that. Rudy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the fun they had and everybody.
Well, you know, and the money they would spend, I'd always heard that. They'd spend thousands of dollars on these outfits, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They
had boosters come in there with clothes. You wouldn't believe
I never
got about.
That's funny. Okay, I think I just uploaded that song. Let's see if it shows up here in the thing. Here we go. Let's see, Ray. Oh, it's processing it. Okay, here it is. Here we go. We can do it. Let's see how this sounds.
You must be a special lady.
You'll be singing first time. No, Harry, I'm singing second, man.
How's that sound? Does that sound okay?
A little better.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
You must be a special lady.
You'll be singing first time with song, Harry. I'm singing second, man.
And a very exciting girl.
I'll bring that bass out, man.
Hey, man, I'll bring it out a little bit more.
You gotta be a special lady.
Get down on some hardware, come on.
Cause you got me sitting on top of the world. Sitting on top of the world.
Thank you. Right, we're trying to hear some music here, really.
I know it. All right, here we go. Select. Okay, okay. Let's do it again. If we have to, we have to do it again. I don't understand.
Do it again. Do it again. Yeah. Do it again. Do it again.
A.K. Jackie Wilson. And there it is. Your love keeps lifting me higher. We open it up. And we're going to do Jackie. And then we're going to upload. Okay, now that definitely went in there. Let's go back to the studio.
Back to the Sugar Shack.
Back to the Sugar Shack, and let's see. Boy,
back
I never
to
had
the Sugar Shack. Let's go back to the Sugar Shack and take care of business.
Yeah. So, Rudy, here we go, baby.
Woo!
There it is. Talking about Jackie Wilson, and he said that he says, you know, man, I heard this cat singing whether it was Heartbreak Hotel or something like that. He said the you know, one of his songs, and he says, man, this cat hit it like I could never hit it, man. He goes, this cat was just wailing. And he goes, and this guy, I think his name was Jackie Wilson.
Wow. Wow.
And Elvis giving propers to Jackie Wilson. What a legend. What a legend Jackie Wilson is.
Right. And he performed at the Sugar Shack. Wow.
Let me tell you something. Jackie didn't pass away. He would have been a real big superstar, believe me. He was on his way to break through real big.
They said, all I can imagine, listening to that song, and in your four walls down there on in that basement in Boylston Street, and I'm going to, excuse my language, folks, but all I can think, that place must have went fucking crazy when he played that song.
You know something? I keep saying it over and over again, but I got to kick myself in the ass because we didn't photograph and we didn't have the technology that we have today with phones and a camera. I mean, a camera and a phone and all that stuff.
Right.
We got robbed of a lot of things. It'll never come back again.
Yeah, well, fortunately, people did take videos in other venues, so we can always see what they looked like and did. And, you know, it's not the Shack, but it's still, you know, I mean, there's some places when they sing live, I mean, like some of the Dells YouTubes I've seen. It's, you know, we're lucky that we can do. And we'll bring it out in the documentary.
But we got this, though. We have this. We're sitting here every week. Right.
I know.
About the past. We actually do have modern technology because here we are 50 years later on this podcast talking about the Sugar Shack.
Right.
Rudy
our
Cabino.
Own radio show in our house.
Yeah, exactly. And we started out like going, who, what, where, what, and look at where it is today. It's really, really amazing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, and here's an artist. We still hear an artist's voice from, I mean, before Edison, you couldn't do this stuff. And, you know, that's only little more than 100 years old that, you know, we started to hear these sounds and hold on to these sounds. It's, but what energy Jackie Wilson.
Imagine that.
Can you remember the night he was there? They must have went crazy. Rudy.
I remember, like, we brought it up early in the show. I can remember one of the moments that I can remember was that audience opening night. It was unreal.
Wow. Wow.
Excitement in that room was unreal. I told you, we sold out champagne, about 30 cases, I think we had. We went through them all.
Wow. Now, what would you get for a bottle of champagne in those days?
I forgot.
Must have been $100. $100?
No, $15 or $20, $25, something like that.
No, it's $500 today.
Yeah. All right, let's do. I know it's not higher and higher, but I love this Jackie Wilson song too. Here we go.
I won't.
Oh, my God. You know, Rudy, Billy says it every week. You know, he'll be listening to the news. I don't listen to the news, but you get depressed, everything that's going on. And we do these shows. It's like therapy. This is therapy.
Yeah, baby.
Sugar Shack, music, conversation,
therapy.
Memories,
therapy.
Laughs, Sugar
therapy.
Shack, therapy.
Sugar Shack, therapy, folks. That's what we're doing here.
Therapy, come back. You know, and every week we laugh and we just feel so good. And, you know, Rudy, screw you. Rudy Garino did this. Not anybody else, and you got to take credit for it, man, because there are times coming again.
Yes, exactly.
You know, when you listen to the words of that song, how many guys would love to have today?
Right.
The way he says, the way you rub your back, you rubbed my back when I was in pain, the way you soothed me so I wouldn't complain. He says, the way you gave me a kiss with those ruby red lips, you made me do back over flips, that's why. I love you so.
All right.
Yeah. I'm real. They will pick her up songs.
Oh, yeah. You know, I can.
Every time, you know, we have an Arizona Charlie's where I hang out, I play cards, and they have the music that comes in the room. And they play more soul stuff than you ever heard of. They
yep.
Giving out the Connolly, Sweet Soul Music. That's the easy 50 years old, that song.
Yeah.
And
well,
I
you know.
And I go jumping around. It's unbelievable.
Well,
wow.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I stumbled on something here. And we found, this is a little battle of the bands. Were you on when I did this, the Four Tops and the OJs? Billy.
Oh.
Okay,
yeah,
listen
so,
to this.
Yeah, I was
were
there.
You when they played She Was My Girl?
Yep.
Yeah, you were there that week?
Yeah, I must have been. I've been there every week since the beginning.
Well, no,
yeah,
you missed one.
Did I miss
yeah,
one?
Let's do it again. We'll do it again?
He's like, well, you missed one.
Okay, here we're going to do this again. I love this. This
let's
is the Four
it.
Tops. We're going to have a battle of the bands. Four Tops when She Was My Girl. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I was into this. Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Rudy's singing. Rudy's singing. Rudy's happy.
I'm happy. Used to be. to me when she was my girl.
Oh.
That's why they call it soul, baby. When she was my girl.
Yeah.
Or you can feel the pain.
Right.
To have something that good and it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and well, like I said, Battle of the Bands. Watch this. I just can't believe these songs so similar in lyrics and how these two groups had the way of expressing themselves, and wow, here we go. Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's do it.
Right.
All right.
Let's do a Christmas show. All right, let's do it. All right, guys.
Okay, love you guys.
God bless. Love you guys, too.
All right, peace out, man. Thanks.
Peace out.
Yeah. Sign off with the Sugar Shack.
Yeah.
Let's a little Sugar Shack to take us out. It'll take us out exactly. Here we go. Here's the magic. We're going to go out exactly at 1 hour and a half. I did it.
Of this crazy little shack beyond the track.
Thank you, everybody, for coming in. Thank you, Johnny.
And everybody calls it the Sugar Shack.
Great time machine back trip.
Well, it's just a coffee house and it's made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good. That's not the reason why.